This podcast is brought to you by Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seat. The show is about to start. Hey guys, what's up? This is Phoebe.
Yeah, this is Mike.
This is episode number 52 of the Mike and Phoebe Show. And today we have a special in-studio guest. This is Lorraine Heath. Lorraine is the owner of Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire. Hi, Lorraine.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you this morning?
I am doing great. I'm super excited to do this podcast and talk to the Inland Empire about what kind of help we can offer.
Yes, we're so excited to talk to you. Now, Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire, they provide in-home care services to seniors by brightening the lives of seniors who can benefit from a helping hand and a friendly smile.
Yes, we do. We provide in-home non-medical services to seniors throughout the Inland Empire. And one of our big differentiators is that all of our caregivers are seniors themselves. So they provide a bit of a better connection between the caregiver and the receiver. You know, it helps, as my mom only says, getting old is not for sissies. So someone that understands what getting old is like is, a good fit to help someone who's having to ask for help, receive a little bit of extra assistance in their home. But all of that is a win-win for both the client and the caregiver. And it allows seniors to stay in their own homes instead of having to move into assisted living when all they need is just a little help around the house.
Right. You know, when we first started talking, when we met at the one of the Hemet San Jacinto Chamber mixers, I thought that was very interesting and very unique about what you guys provide as services, that you hire seniors to help seniors. So it's not only, you know, people that are a little bit younger being a caretaker or helping, but it's also encouraging seniors to get involved in helping other seniors. So that was very touching to me.
Especially the ones that are able to.
Yes, correct.
Absolutely. And we find that a lot of our caregivers, you know, their caregiving experience is with their families. You know, they've maybe helped their grandparents or their parents, and maybe now they're a widow or widower, and, you know, they don't know what to do with themselves now. They don't want a full-time job. They don't want to go into an office, but they want to do something. They want to get out of the house. They want to help people because that's kind of what they've known for a while. And so we offer that perfect solution because now they can get paid for that same care that they were providing before, but they can get paid for it. And, and they can help other people be independent who maybe otherwise couldn't stay in their own home.
Right. And that also builds a connection, and you can meet new people too, meet your peers that you wouldn't normally meet. So I think that's very sweet and very, very compassionate of your organization to do.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we're airing this episode on April 16th, which is a National Healthcare Decision Day. So being that it's a National Healthcare Decision Day, Lorraine's here to talk to us about several of the healthcare decisions that may not be as easy to make, or not everyone may know that they need to make it, you know. So on top of that, there's a multitude of services that Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire has. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of, I think it was like 20 services that you guys provide, right?
That's quite a few. Yeah, that's quite a bit.
Absolutely. So we provide a very wide range. And so our kind of most common ones would be companionship and also light housekeeping. So just help with keeping the place tidy, vacuuming, changing the bed linens, helping with laundry. But we also can help with pet care, you know, because sometimes our clients have come home from the hospital, maybe have some shorter term limitations, and now they can't, you know, bend down to clean the cat litter box, you know. And, you know, I'm sure we're all aware of the benefits of having pets in our lives. And so we can help with that in the short term while they, you know, recover, or in the long term. And then we also offer, you know, just general help around the house, help with, you know, light weeding in the garden. You know, a lot of our clients really love gardening, but they don't want to do it by themselves. They want a little bit of help, but they don't need a whole gardener. They just want someone to be with them to pull up some weeds, you know, or water their potted plants. And so our caregivers can do that. And a lot of what we do is a matching service, because what we look for is for our caregivers that have something in common with our clients. So we don't have different caregivers going to our clients all the time. We typically have one, maybe two assigned to every client. So you get to actually develop a friendship between your client and your caregiver when it's the same person, or maybe it's two people if they need more care. And our services also go all the way up to what we call personal care. And that covers assistance with bathing or dressing, grooming, toileting, that kind of stuff. And so the advantage there is that if you as a senior need a little bit of help, and right now you just need a little help around the house, a little help with the laundry, a little help with cleaning, or you can't reach the microwave because those microwaves above your stove are so high up sometimes. And so you can't reach those. We can come and provide that. But as you get older and perhaps need more services, you know, you start having more medical issues, we can transition to providing that full service. So you can still be at home. And our caregivers are all trained to handle people with dementia, all forms of dementia. And so that's another sort of benefit of what we offer. So we can kind of cover anything you can think of. If you think, I could really use a little bit of help with X, chances are we do X.
Nice. Yeah. And what area do you cover? So obviously you cover Inland Empire. So is it a specific city? Like obviously we're here in Paris. If someone lived in Paris that needed help, or obviously Nuevo, where you're based out of, just all of Inland Empire is where you cover for your services?
So basically we cover everything east of the 215 and north of Temecula, and then up to the I-10 corridor. So at the moment, the majority of our work is in the sort of Menifee to Hemet and San Jacinto area, and then also up to Beaumont and Banning. And then we'll be expanding our services in the near future into the sort of Yucaipa, Calamesa, and Redlands area. Mm. But right now we're focused kind of in this corridor from Menifee through Paris, Nuevo, Hemet, and San Jacinto area.
That is awesome. Very awesome to know. And now let's talk about making healthcare decisions. So being that today is National Healthcare Decision Day. So what kind of healthcare decisions do you want to talk about?
Yeah. So, healthcare decisions cover such a range of options. And, our services are a healthcare decision. How do you want to age? How do you want to receive healthcare as you get older? And so one of the options is us, is offering our in-home services rather than going to an assisted or independent living facility. But then also, and what we try to do in addition to offering our services is we try to provide resources for seniors in our community. And so one of those things is healthcare decisions such as advanced directives. And so the advanced directives are really a way for the rest of the universe to know what your wishes are if and when you're not able to verbalize them. And so having something like that is really important. And there's sort of a variety of types of advanced directives that you can have. You can have a living will, a durable power of attorney for healthcare. You can have a surrogate decision maker, and you can have do not resuscitate orders, often called DNRs. And then you can also have advanced instructions for medical health treatment. And so these are all forms of an advanced directive. An advanced directive really is just a written set of instructions that outlines what you want to happen with regards to your healthcare and who gets to help you in the event of you being incapacitated. So none of us want to think about this. None of us want to think about what happens when we get older or what happens when we are unable to make our own decisions. But many of us still feel really strongly about what we want have to have happen. And if we don't communicate that to our healthcare providers and our loved ones, then they're left making that decision by themselves. And the great thing about having these things, and we can talk a little bit about each one, is that your loved ones are now confident that they can make those decisions correctly and as you would want. So there's no like, well, I think she'd want this, or I think he would want us to do this, or your doctor not knowing, you know, how far to take medical care if you're incapable of telling him or her. This way they're written down. And it gives you confidence that what you want to happen will happen. And in fact, gives your loved ones a much more confidence that they will make good decisions in a time when making decisions is super difficult. So we have the living will, which talks about specific instructions regarding the type of care you want to stay alive or not. So you can list what kind of medical treatment you want. Do you want resuscitation? Do you want dialysis? Do you want a feeding tube? Would you want a respirator? Do you want to donate your organs? All of that's covered in a living will. And you can find a lot of free resources online. If you Google for the state of California, there will be forms you can fill in. Your doctor can also help you. Many times your doctor might actually have a form you can fill in. So I know my parents, their doctor gave them this big long form of like, do you want this? And under what circumstances? And do you want this? And so they just had to kind of go through each one and be like, yes, no, maybe. And so, you know, they make it easy. And then you have the durable power of attorney for healthcare. So I'm sure most of us have heard about normal power of attorney who can make legal decisions for you when you're unable to do so. But you can have one specifically for healthcare decisions. So it doesn't give them access to your banking accounts or anything like that. It's just going to give them the authority to be your advocate with healthcare providers. And so if you are not able to tell the doctors what you want, they will be able to do that for you. But you have to have that in writing. Otherwise, the doctor makes the decision, not your family. And so your patient advocate or your whoever you designate could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a family member. It could be your best friend. It could be someone in the business community that you trust. They just have to be over 18 and years old, and they need to be competent to make decisions. And then you can have something kind of similar, which is a surrogate decision maker. That's again a different kind of form, but essentially, again, they are there to make sure that if you write out your advanced directives, what you want, you have your living will, that kind of stuff, they make sure that that's what happens. And then the do not resuscitate orders. Most people are real familiar with these, but it's a request regarding whether you want or do not want CPR or cardiopulmonary resuscitation if your heart stops or you stop breathing. So if you do not have a DNR order in place, medical staff will assist you if your heart stops or you stop breathing. They will perform CPR and whatever other medical interventions they deem appropriate as a medical professional to bring you back. If you have a written do not resuscitate order, and it must be in writing, you really need it somewhere where people can find it. So when we provide care to our seniors, we make sure we ask them, do they have these orders? God forbid something happen. We hope it doesn't while we're there. But if it does, we need to be able to quickly tell our caregivers what their wishes are. So if they're calling 911, they can provide that information because sometimes the family's not going to be available right that moment. And we try to encourage them to put it somewhere in writing with their doctor, but also somewhere in their home. So my parents have it like on the fridge. So that it's easy for everybody to find in an emergency. In an emergency, we don't want to be going through a filing cabinet.
Yeah. No, we sure don't. Yeah,
I don't think we want to be going through a filing cabinet without an emergency.
Yeah, it's really important to keep it accessible. And the fact that you are here talking to us about it, letting the listeners know that these kind of important healthcare decisions are good to have, not only as a senior citizen, but also as a young person.
Yeah.
You know, Mike and I were in our 40s and we had to do that for ourselves as husband and wife.
Sure do.
So because we already went through that in our personal lives with our parents, grandparents, and, you know, not everyone may know, you know what, you need to set this up while you're competent and healthy enough that you know, okay, this is what I want as a healthcare decision for when 10, 15, 20 years later, you may not be as competent to make those decisions. And the process of filing the paperwork is a little bit too. You know, it's a little bit daunting, but it's good to do it when you're well enough to know, okay, this is what I need to decide on.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a younger person, we would like to think this is 10 to 15 years, 20, 30 years off, but it might not be. You could get in a car accident. I'm sure, you know, right. We know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to make these decisions because you're incapacitated from a car accident. If you have this kind of information on hand, available somewhere, even if just your loved ones know, then we can, you know, medical professionals can ensure that your wishes are actually carried out. And again, as you get older and it's more likely to be required, that's when we advise it to be very easily accessible in your home. But we also encourage people to talk to their medical doctor. You know, people are going to contact your doctor. Your health insurance card has your doctor right on it. So if your doctor has it, then any contact they receive, they're going to be able to advise other medical professionals, hey, this is their wishes. They don't want resuscitation, or they do want to be resuscitated. They are an organ donor. They're not an organ donor. Any of those things may become necessary way before we think they will, or we hope they will.
Yeah. Also, another thing too is if you have multiple family members, to stipulate who you want as an emergency contact to help state, okay, you know what, be your advocate. Because if you have multiple family members and then they all get contacted during a healthcare emergency, that gets confusing. So it's important that that's all stipulated and it's in writing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Because again, you don't, the loved ones and family members don't want to be arguing over what you might or might not have wanted. And you don't want that happening either. So by writing it down, writing who your decision maker is if you're not available, and even if you have a decision maker, tell them what you want and tell it in writing. I'm not going to remember something my family told me, you know, even 6 months ago. But if I know, oh, they wrote all this down, we had this conversation, I understand, I can go find that piece of paper. So for my parents, I live a long way away from my parents, but my parents are in their very late 70s. My mom has Alzheimer's. We have all of this documented already. It's attached to their fridge. So if someone comes in that's, you know, not me, because I live a long way away, they live up in Canada. But I also have a copy. So I'm their emergency contact. So if someone calls me, I don't have to be like, oh crap, what did they say? Oh, well, it's somewhere in the house. Can you look here? Can you look there? No, I have it in my firebox. I just grab it and I'm like, okay, here's what they want. Here's the decisions. Here's what we talked about. So I don't have to think about it. I don't have to be worried about whether I remember what they wanted. It's written down. It's super clear. It takes the pressure off me and it makes sure that they get what they wanted, the healthcare they received. So this is such an important area for everybody, and it goes along with making a will. It's all related to the same thing, and none of us want to think about it or talk about it, but we really need to. And if we become more comfortable with these conversations, then we can ensure that as a society, our seniors are respected and they retain their dignity, because what they want is what happens.
You know, another thing too that I just recently learned, Mike told me, is that these forms, the healthcare directive, advanced directives, they have a set limitation of timeline, right? Like you have to renew the paperwork. What you said, was it 5, 10 years? I think it was
every 7 to 10 years. You have to renew it.
Yeah, you should definitely update it. I mean, it's a good idea to refresh it, your memory, every 5 years, even only because your ideas might have changed. Your loved ones might have changed. Their situation may have changed. So who you want as your decision maker may have changed. So as a person, so I'm in my late 40s, my mom and dad have been my, you know, decision makers and executors and that kind of stuff. Well, my mom now has Alzheimer's. My dad has some cognitive issues as well. And we don't think that that's the best choice anymore. You know, I think it'd be super stressful for them. It's already going to be stressful if I suddenly die or I'm medically incapacitated. So I have my best friend now listed because she knows what I want. She knows where to look this stuff up. And she's not going to be quite in the situation that my parents would be in. So it's real important to review it on the regular basis to make sure that the people you've designated, the thoughts you have, and the thoughts change over time. When you're younger, you might be like, heck no, I want all of the medical stuff. When you're older, you might be like, no, I'm good. And it's okay either way. So yeah, it's really a good idea to review it, make sure it's up to date, and make sure it's available.
You know, and that's an important point that you brought up too, Lorraine, is not only do your healthcare options or decisions change, your perception changes, but the people in our lives unfortunately change, you know, with relationships and things like that. So that's a very interesting point, having that decision changed from your parents to someone, your peer, you know, your personal, that you know, okay, will be in a better mindset, you know, as opposed to your parents. So that's a very interesting point to bring. And we all know relationships change over time too. And
friendships.
Yeah.
You know, they all go. And, you know, like you said, people pass. People go and, you know, who knows?
People get divorced and have issues. And
yeah.
I mean, as a married couple, we all know, you know, even if you're not married, relationships are up and down, up and down. Maybe 5 years ago, we may not be in a specific spot, you know, that you want someone to make a decision. And then as opposed to in 15 years, you know what? You may not like them that much.
You're like, die, you sucker, die. Die, dang it.
But you want to be sure that all that is updated in that information there. So people know, okay, you know what? He's an ex-husband, but they're getting separated. You know, maybe not contact him so much, but, you know, look on the paperwork and make sure that's up to date.
He'll kill me. That one won't.
Absolutely. And it's important, too, because the law requires that if you have nothing, the law requires people to ask a certain order of your relatives. So if that's not the order you want to be making your decisions, whether they're healthcare decisions or to do with your estate, if you pass, the law requires them to go in a certain order if you don't specify. And often for most people, the order they do is probably the order you would choose. So typically it's going to be your spouse and then followed by your children if you have any. But when people start passing or your relationships change, that may not be the right order for you anymore. Maybe you want your sibling. Maybe you definitely don't want your sibling.
Right.
Maybe your children live overseas and that's not the best choice. So, you know, again, your life changes, the people in it changes, the way you feel about people and they feel about you changes. So it's definitely important to keep up on top of that. And if you don't make a decision, the decision will be made for you and it may not be what you wanted.
True.
Right. So it's definitely important to make these decisions as hard as what they are. But as adults, you know, that's life, making hard decisions. But knowing and being confident in making those decisions is very important. That's what I really appreciate about this.
Yep.
So, and I also appreciate that you guys hire the seniors to do the help and provide assistance as well. And you want to talk about you're sponsoring an event coming up in Hemet, correct? The Hemet Beautiful Cleanup event?
Yes. So in April 27th, which is a Saturday, the city of Hemet is doing a Hemet Beautiful Day. The idea behind this is that it's to clean up the city, make the city more beautiful, to encourage, you know, make it a nicer place to be, encourage businesses to come to Hemet, and then also to make it a nicer place to attract people who want to live in Hemet as well. And so anybody can volunteer from adults and children, as long as the children are with adults. There's lots of things you can help with. You can also, if you go online to the city of Hemet, there's a place where you can nominate something that needs cleaning up. So it could just be like a vacant lot that's a mess or a gardening area. It can be people's homes. They have to approve that, obviously. But it can also be like the front of a business. So anything that you think could be made nicer, made to look better, you can nominate that and the committee will decide if that's appropriate. The Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire is sponsoring the day as well. So we are sponsoring and volunteering. So I'll be there volunteering my time in Hemet. It's the closest large community to where we're headquartered. And so I'll be there helping. And as I said, I sponsor it. So you get a t-shirt. There's a big kickoff event down at the school just off Dominogone there. And it's April 27th. And yeah, so I encourage people who live in the area to come on out. And then also, like I said, we're sponsoring. So we hope everybody comes out and supports the businesses that sponsor making Hemet a more beautiful place to live.
Was there a time frame that it starts, or is it just an all day thing?
I think it starts at 9 a.m.
Okay.
With a kickoff event. It's either 8 or 9 a.m. I'd have to double check that on the website.
Okay.
But there's a kickoff event down at the high school that's just off Domenigoni and Sanderson.
Oh, okay.
And so there'll be people saying things, you know, the mayor will be there, that kind of stuff. And then they will assign people different places to go. You get a t-shirt for volunteering. And then they'll, as I said, kind of point you to where to go and what to do. And when you sign up to volunteer, there's a website form you can fill in. You can say like what things you're willing to do. So maybe you want to do gardening or help plant things, you know, flowers and stuff. Or maybe you just want to help pick up trash from somewhere, you know. So there's lots of options. And as I said, even kids can help as a community service type activity. So it's really a win-win for everybody. Yeah. And then coming back just briefly to hiring seniors, we are always looking for seniors looking to help us in caregiving. We offer very flexible hours. We do open 24/7. So, you know, we can accommodate people's schedules depending on what clients we have available. We offer free training and education in order to do the job as well. And at the moment, Riverside County is offering quite a good bonus that if you as a business, so if I hire a senior, they're trying to encourage seniors and veterans in the workforce. And so if we hire a senior and they work for 90 days with our organization, they get $500.
Hey.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So the business gets an incentive as well, a financial incentive, and then the senior themselves or the veteran also gets an incentive. So, and that's good at least through the end of this year. They have to be over 55 and part-time hours are fine. They don't have to be working full-time and they have to be with the organization for 90 days and then they get $500 from the city of Riverside or the county of Riverside. I think it's a District 5 thing.
Yeah.
District 5, higher 5, I think is what
higher
5. Cuts.
Yeah. That's
what unfortunately, because we're in Paris, we're not in District 5.
And we're not quite 55 yet. Not yet. We're getting there.
Yeah. But that's an amazing program that you talk about, too, that the County of Riverside provides. So they're very supportive in that aspect, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, me too, definitely. And it's encouraging businesses to get out there and to hire. I had a applicant not that long ago. And she said to me, this is the first job I've ever applied to where getting old was a benefit.
Oh.
Because ageism is a significant problem in the workplace. And so she was really excited. You know, when I asked her, I said, you know, are you over 50? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, good. Because that's our target for caregivers. And she's like, oh, my age is actually a benefit? And I was like, yep. It is. And she's so excited about that. Because as I said, you know, when you're looking for work and you're getting older, it's a hard thing to find work. And not everybody wants to work full time. And a lot of businesses don't want to hire seniors. So we really offer a different avenue for that. And it's very rewarding work.
Good.
It absolutely is. So Lorraine, I'm so happy that you're here talking to us about all these important healthcare decisions on National Healthcare Decision Day. So if you're interested in contacting Lorraine Heath, she is at the Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire. So find them online. You can find them on Facebook and LinkedIn under Seniors Helping Seniors Inland Empire. Very important. You got to type in Inland Empire to get a hold of Lorraine. And her website is shsinlandempire.com. And also you can call her at 951-578-7950. Again, that's 951-578-7950. Thank you so much for coming and talk to us today, Lorraine. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Mike and Phoebe Show on Alternative Twist Radio. If you missed any past episodes, just search the Mike and Phoebe Show or Alternative Twist Radio on any major podcast app.